when the Lord invites you to his table, you are no longer a stranger. Now he calls you friend. Because I'm not going to have anybody that's not a friend come to my house. If you look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He finally gets down to the end of the psalm. He says, and I prepare a table for you in the midst of my enemies. And David wanted to show honor to Jonathan, his friend. And so he said, I must find somebody in Saul's lineage to invite them to my table. All right, so in this episode, we really wanted to dive in Sukkot 5785. And Rabbi, you had a really big message on the table of the Lord. And so we've received a ton of comments. It was a great service. It was a really good stream, super, super powerful. So we just thought, let's dive into this a little bit more. Let's lead the viewer and the listener through this teaching, through the prophetic meeting, and then just kind of, you know, how to receive this fully and like where to go. So let's walk through that table of the Lord, Rabbi.
Okay, first of all, I want to say this about when you're listening to a minister, okay? When it's applicable, I will always do this. I will always give a little bit of my testimony so that people will understand the roots of my heart to like where I'm coming from to help them to be able to receive the impartation of what God is speaking. Because everything, you know, you can be totally anointed and it's literally every word's coming from God, but it's still filtered through the vessel. You know, that's with Jesus. Jesus was obviously God incarnate with the Holy Spirit, but when he was speaking, it was coming from his roots in the Father. So Father God was speaking through his son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So it's like, where did he come from? So one of the reasons people have so much problems with Jesus is that he came from heaven. So everything he's saying is he's God incarnate. He's speaking through his experience as the Lord of the universe. But yet he spent, let's say, his ministry time, he spent 30 years, you know, in Nazareth as a carpenter's son. So all of that kind of like filters through everything he says. So when I say that, when I talk about like, why does the Landrys and the Marcelino, my family, why are we so passionate about, let's say, Passover or having a dinner like what we're having at Sukkot, the table of the Lord, is because for me personally, okay, one of my love languages is food, preparing food and having a meal, whether it's at a restaurant, preferably at my house. If I'm at my house and we're going to have dinner, if you come to my house for dinner, it's going to be 2.5-3 hour meal. Okay. There'll be multiple courses and it will be everything that I cooked or prepared fresh myself because I like to cook. But that's part of my love language. Part of my personal love language is to be able to share with those individuals is to share with them a time at the table. And the reason I say that is if you look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He finally gets down to the end of the psalm. He says, and I prepare a table for you in the midst of my enemies. And David wanted to show honor to Jonathan, his friend, and Saul. And so he said, I must find somebody in Saul's lineage to invite them to my table. So David found Mephibosheth and invited him to his table. So there's something about like when you're invited to the table of the Lord, you are not only tabernacling and dwelling with him, but you're actually cutting covenant. And that's why, you know, just taking communion kind of, you know, like communion spiritually should not be in our minds. It shouldn't be fast food. It is a covenant meal that was paid for by the Lamb of God to literally pay for our sins. I mean, it's a huge thing. So when the Lord invites you to his table, you are no longer a stranger. Now he calls you friend. because I'm not going to have anybody that's not a friend come to my house. So I'm just saying that maybe I'm a little bit more enthusiastic about the table of the Lord than maybe some ministers. But when you have somebody who is for relaxation, and my hobby is cooking and all of that type of thing, I mean, that's, I'm a foodie. And I, if you're coming to my house, I'm going to get the best produce, the best meat, the best everything that I can find, because ingredients make a difference on the outcome of the meal. Every single ingredient, how fresh, how organic, how pure it is, all of that is important to the final outcome. It's not like just one thing. I can tell you as a cook and as a chef, if you bring one element in that's not up to par with the rest of it, it pulls everything else down. It changes the taste, the texture. So the same thing, if you can hear what I'm saying, the same thing in spiritual life. You want to put in the best content. You want to put in the best words. You want to get the best, because listen, what you're doing is, I mean, you know, we say in the world, you are what you eat, but in the spirit realm, it's the same thing. You are what you consume. So if the Lord's inviting you to your table, you have to have an anticipation of honor that he called you and chose you, and he's appointed you and anointed you to sit at his table. If you really meditate on that, Daryl, that's an awesome thing. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. So let's take a moment. If you streamed with us last night, if you watched the replay of Sukkot 5785, we want to thank you. So much to unpack there. So if you need to go back and watch it again, absolutely do that. Also, we want to throw it at you as we do every episode, and we talk to you in the pre and post show during Shabbat every Friday night. Hit the subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the bell notification as well. You want to make sure that you get the notifications for all the daily and weekly spiritual content that Rabbi and the team produces just for you. So it's free to subscribe. Just hit that button. If you're on Facebook, hit follow. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we appreciate you. You just follow as well. So let's turn back and kind of what I took from what you kind of just led me with the table of the Lord, Sukkot, what people experience either in person or online with us last night, the best of the best. And you talked about ingredients, compared it to cooking. Let's talk about spiritual ingredients, right? Give the viewer and the listener some spiritual ingredients that's practical, things that they can take in this moment tonight, whenever they're watching this, listening to it, to take 5785 in the fall feast and mold it into their everyday life.
I would say probably my biggest takeaway from these fall feasts is the Lord gave Christy and I a prophetic word through a prophet. Her name was Fran Lance, and this is in Seattle. And we got this word in 1990. And the word from her was the word that I brought last night, was about go out to the highways and the hedges so that the Lord's house might be filled. Many were invited, but they did not come. They made excuses. I would say this. One of the reasons Christy and I have a habit and pattern of never missing an opportunity to be in the house of God is because we have a revelation of how important it is to God for us to put his house, our time, our feet under his table. Because once you get in a habit of not coming to service, not coming to the feast, once you get into that habit, then it's not so much, now this is just me, it's not so much that you're out of the habit of going, but that time is going to be consumed with something else. So there's something else competing for that time that you didn't come into the house of God. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. seek first the kingdom of God and his right way, a righteousness, right way of doing things, and all other things will come unto you. So once you get in the habit of not going to church, not going to a service, not going to first fruits, not going to the feast, not going to Shabbat, once you get into the habit of it, it's not that you get out of the habit and pattern, which is not good, but you start filling it with something else. And excuse me. Whatever you fill your time with is what you're going to give attention to. So for us, the 2 or 3 hours that you would have been getting to service, being in service with us, you're going to go invest it on something else. So that means your time, task, and activity in mind is on something other than the Lord. Unless like you're home streaming or something like that. But my point is that when the Lord invites us to put our feet, like all the feasts of the Lord, we do it. We've done it for, 30 years. It's very intentional. I think people probably know, in years past, we were invited to the New Year's Eve party, with President Trump when he was still president. We were invited to a New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago. Okay. That's a small group of people. I can't remember, probably 200. And we were invited to go. Well, you got to get the tuxedo. You have to fly down to Palm Beach. You have to be vetted, go through all sorts of security. It's a big deal. It's important. And the thing is that when you're at the table of the Lord, I remember they sat us near, Rudy Giuliani, and Judge Jeanine was at that table next to us. And, Eric Trump and his wife, all these different, they were all these people that you see on television and that, because what happened is they got an invitation to come to the New Year's Eve party with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. So it's kind of a big deal. And you can feel it. The energy is there. There's all sorts of, people there that you wouldn't run into going to the grocery store. So it's an event. But to be honest with you, Christy and I's mindset, Daryl, is this. When we get invited to go to House of David to be like last night at Sukkot, it's way more important that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sovereign Father who sits at the right hand of the Lord, Jesus Christ, actually invited us to be there. We actually hold that intentionally at a higher level of honor than going to Mar-a-Lago. Because Mar-a-Lago is just man. But the feast of the Lord is God. And when God invites you, that's why last night when I brought the word, many were invited, but they all made excuses. I don't ever want to be a father, grandfather that models the excuse that something's more important than the house of God.
Let's do something real quick. And if you're not comfortable, we'll cut it out. But I was going to come to you about cycle of excuses. And I just feel like that people would benefit if you look into that camera and just pray and break cycle of excuses, that for whatever reason people are going through, life happens, right? You're always going to have things come up. But when you make something a priority, like going to the gym, eating healthy, hanging out with your kids, going to work, right? Doing these things in your life, when you have a spiritual conviction because you understand like what's to come and like what you are going to potentially miss, or not potentially, 100% miss out on if you don't come to the table. So can you pray and try to break excuses or just whatever is on that for like what people are kind of going through?
Okay. Yeah, I will. Let me just say this. So, I think I sent you this podcast. So I'm going to look in this camera here. Okay. Your children are going to follow your habits and your patterns and who you are. Okay. So I'll just give you an example. You all know that Christy and I were blessed to minister at Gloria Zion with Apostle Chuck Pierce. So, you know, Megan's eight and a half months pregnant, and Paul, normally they would go with us, okay? But they didn't get to go because she's pregnant. So now at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, what are they doing on a Saturday, which is Shabbat at the Marcelino house? They've got the big screen television in their house. And what are they doing? Now, the baby, Matthew's sleeping. He's taking a nap. He takes a nap from 2:30 to 3:30, 4. But the two bigger ones are watching Saba on the big screen television and literally watching and watch the entire service. These are 8 and 4. Watch the entire service. And how does that happen? Because they have been in the house and watched the services because the family, that's what we do. When we're in Florida, then, and Pastor Tim's is here ministering, then we're in Florida watching Pastor Tim at House of David on the screen. We have Shabbat dinner and then we watch Pastor Tim. So my point is we're modeling to these babies, and they just automatically, they don't question it. They think this is what, as Marcelinos, this is what we do. We watch Saba, we watch Pastor Tim. And then when we're in town, then we're here, we're going to go to House of David. We're going to the service. So what happens is we don't prioritize. We never say to them, oh, well, there's this sporting event or there's this event. No, God's house is number one. And the thing of it is if you model that God's house is negotiable and other things are what you're doing is, and I know this is tough, but you asked me the question.
Yeah.
What you're doing is your actions speak louder than your words. You can say God's number one in our life, but you know what? That, you know, this is a home game for this and this is that and this is whatever. And if you do that, then they're going to grow up most likely thinking that other things are at the same level as God's house. And I can't think of a worse habit and pattern to put into children's lives. And so I'm just telling you how we've done it. But if you look at how prosperous and blessed and loving the Lord as our family has been, but one of the reasons is from the top, from me as grandpa, and Saba and Nana, from on down, we model the house of the Lord. I mean, we are Shabbat keepers, and that's all Megan knows. We've kept Shabbat her whole life. I mean, since she's known, we started it, she was about 4, but that's all she knows is we do Shabbat, and you know, we pray, and we do spiritual warfare, and we take communion at home, and we speak blessings over, you know, lay hands on people and pray for the sick and they recover, all that stuff. They see that. And if they're in that environment and it's, you know, then when they grow up, they'll do the same thing. But when they don't see it and all they know is that, well, sometimes we go to church, let's say on Easter and Christmas. And then if you don't prioritize the presence of God, then if you don't do it, they won't do it. And so I would say that. So asking what you want me to do is, it's not really breaking in. It's not really an attack of the enemy. It's a choice.
Ooh.
It's your choice. Today, I put before you blessing and cursing, life and death. You have to choose. You just have to choose. And you can leave it in the show or not. But I'm speaking to you as an elder. Whatever you model, that's what it's going to be. And you know, we're blessed; we get to travel. But when we're traveling, we have Shabbat, and when we travel, we watch Pastor Tim or whoever's ministering here at House of David. And so, what's happening is these little people know that's how we do it. Now, to get back to one of the things that I sent you this week, we got our grandkids these pads for homeschooling. And so they're, so what do they do is, so Bella, she's 8. So what does she do? She figures out how to use it and she sets it up and puts it on the coffee table and she does a podcast. And her special guest is her 4-year-old brother. And the four-year-old brother comes out wearing the Make America Pray Again hat. I think I sent it to you.
Yeah.
So what's happening is, and they did a great job. It was hilarious. I mean, you know, like, and she was interviewing him. Why? Because her mother does podcast. Her Saba does podcast. And so what she's doing, she's just reproducing. Listen, she's a natural on television. She loves it. That's what she's going to do. She already knows at 8 years old that she's heir apparent into the ministry and she's going to give the good news through media. She already knows it. But the reason is because she's already, that's all she knows. That's all she's seen. When she was little, she laid on the floor in House of David with a blanket and a pacifier and while we would be preaching. And so she's been just soaked in the anointing, soaked in the word of God, soaked in the worship. And she was here late and changed diapers. And anyway, my whole point is you have to battle. There's going to be the reason the scripture I brought last night was go out to the highways and hedges so that the Lord's house can be filled. When you invite people to something special and they're a no-show, what does it do to your heart? Wow, that's not cool. When you had your house in Grove right after you bought the house, then you guys, and you have your wife's a fabulous cook and an extraordinary baker as well. I mean, her baking skills are, no, I mean, it's good. I'm not a baker. My dad was, I'm not. But she's really good. Megan's a great with baking. But I knew when we came to your house, because I cook, she probably had 6-7 hours into preparing that meal that we were going to eat for an hour. Everything was perfect. Everything was great. And I think it was good because Christy and I, we appreciate the labor of love that she was doing to prepare the meal for us. I'm sure you maybe helped some, but it was Morgan's was using her gift. And it was great because her gift was being celebrated, particularly with us, because we're foodies. We really appreciated it. I appreciated the pay attention to the detail. I appreciated everything about the meal and the candles, the light, everything was just beautiful. And we had a tremendous night. It was like very honoring. And I know that you work for us and she's honoring us. This, the boss is coming to your house. I take that part out. My point is that what would have happened, Daryl, if I would have called 10 minutes before and said, hey, guess what? I've got something more important. I've got to go over here to this sporting event.
Well, I'd probably still be hearing about it. It's either that or if she cooks, which like my side of the family, they don't quite get sometimes that if somebody cooks for you and puts all this work into it, sometimes they just don't eat and like they don't tell you. Like they can be there and like everything's smoothing and hey, like no, I'm not going to do that, you know? And so I think about that when, you know, you have a feast and you have an appointed time or you have, you know, I mean, like, you know, when it's necessary, you know, we've done like emergency prayer streams and Shabbats, right? And, you know, do you carry something a little bit of sadness? You know, I'm not trying to turn this podcast one way, but I just think of how like my wife would feel about, you know, preparing the table, right? And, you know, putting all this effort and love into something that she loves to do. And she gets so much joy out of seeing people enjoy her food. It's like the number one thing. So like when the kids spit the food out or, you know, like we've got a 2-year-old, he'll take 3 bites and then he'll just hold food. So like he'll just never get through the meal and it's so frustrating for her. She's like, man, come on, buddy. Like I spent so much into this and this is a great meal. You're going to get nutrition, awesome ingredients, and you're just holding the food. Does that feeling ever kind of get to you that people are just holding their food or like they don't dive into you knowing in the spirit that, like, man, like this is a meal, right? This is spiritual food that you so desperately need.
Well, I'll share with you my world. I will prepare for an average Shabbat. I usually get the word by Tuesday. I put a skeleton kind of it. And then I start to kind of process it. But I usually have 14 to 20 hours into one message that will go for, let's say, an hour, hour and 15 minutes for me. Now, in the process of that, I'm praying, like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And then by doing that, I have sheep that are under my covering that will come to my mind, and I'll say, I hope that this part here helps them get unstuck where they're at. And so I'm praying. And probably the thing I've never gotten used to as a shepherd is when I see somebody who is, when people start to not backslide, but push back from the Lord, where they're not on fire, they're not growing. Because with the Lord, you're either growing or you're not. There is no like level. If you're just going level, you're actually going down. So when I see him in that state, then I'm praying for him. And the first thing that happens with people who start to backslide, if you want to call it that, or start to slide away from the Lord, is their attendance will start to drop, or they'll start sitting further and further back in the building, because what's happening is they're usually picking up some behavior and habits and patterns that they don't want the pastor to know about. And if you have a pastor who sees, like I'm a seer, I already know, I can see when they come in, if they're what they're walking into and walking out of. So, but my job isn't there for condemnation. My job is there to help them get free from the snare of the fowler, of the enemy. So the most heartbreaking thing for me is I can have a house full of people. I went through my 15 to 20 hours of preparation. I've prayed for different ones. And then I have, you know, a couple hundred people just like love it, get totally blessed. And then I have an online audience of thousands, and the comments are incredible. And the spiritual father shepherd side of me will be grieving because the one or two that weren't there.
Yeah. So like, how do you deal with that?
Just pray for them. I've never gotten used to it. Listen, I've had services where, you know, this place is packed out. And I've had like, you know, 550 people in our building is pretty much of a pack out. And yet there's two or three that are in that stage. And then driving home and the next day on Shabbat, my mind is on the two or three that didn't make it. And it hurts my heart to this day. Christy will encourage me. Well, look at all that. Look at that miracle. There was a healing. So-and-so was, we have miracles at the House of David all the time. It's a house of healing. There's a healing and faith gift in the house. And so we've had miracles and signs and wonders in House of David ever since it started. So she'll remind me, and then we rejoice in that. But there's still a part in my house that's looking out, in my heart, looking out the horizon, saying, I wish that one would have been in the house. Part of the reason is when you've been doing this for a long time, when people get into that weakened state, the enemy smells them out, just like a wolf does. You know, if you watch how wolves operate, they're not going to attack the flock, but when one gets left behind or if one is limping and left behind, if they sense any kind of weakness, then the wolves go in and devour that one. Same thing in the spirit realm. The spirits operate in that, the wolf and the sheep, that's very much of a great metaphor of how it operates.
I mean, it's a parable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one lost sheep. So like when you get the opportunity to, speak with that individual. I'm not saying you do a sit down, right? But like, how do you sow into that person that you've been praying for? And I mean, because like you leaving a Shabbat and like those one or two people, probably most of the time, like one that you really hone in on, it could be more than one or two, but I'd have to think, I'm just guessing here, just thinking off like myself, if I'm praying for a buddy or someone, right, out of a, you know, a group of friends, and you get really hone in on that one individual. Kind of one example that kind of comes to mind. I've got a buddy. I mean, safe to say he's my best friend. I grew up with him, and incredible guy. I talk to him every day, right? Spirit-filled guy now, right? Really leading it. Has a company that sells rope and does like my cowboy rope, right? I mean, the company is based off scripture. And I went to a service at a church that we attended back in Alabama. And just one random service, the pastor hands out these lifesavers, right? And everybody at all the campuses gets a lifesaver. And he said, I want you to put one person on this lifesaver. And I want you to pray into this person. And for me, when I don't say witness or apologetics or whatever. I mean, when I'm trying to lead someone to Christ and show them Jesus, right? I do it really softly because I don't think the aggressive nature of, you know, hell and stuff really, I don't think it's effective. I think you have to really develop the relationship over time so then they're comfortable. Absolutely. And then they see Christ in you and the Absolutely. Things that you do, even though you're fallen, right? You mess up and do different things, but they'll see how you interact. And how you love people or try your best, even in the most difficult moments. And so the lesson at the end of it was put one person that is lost and you're going to pray into them. Well, it took me about 3 years, right? Now, I had this lifesaver and I had an old wallet and I had forgot about it. But not like fully forgot about it. Occasionally I look in there and see it and it would remind me, but I was constantly, because I'm talking to this guy almost every day, right? And the moment that he came to me and said, hey man, it's clicked. And his granddad was a pastor too, like a Southern Baptist pastor, I think. And his granddad, awesome guy, right? And he's breathing into him too, but he had the soft approach as well. And so I always think back to that lifesaver that, yes, I did eat it, and it was terrible. I mean, like, this thing was smush, melted. It was in my wallet for 3 years, Rabbi. Mm-hmm. But I always think back to that and then the parable of the lost sheep is that, man, I mean, the power of prayer and when you really dive into it and, you know, I'm not boasting about it, but if I had to go and boast and say, hey, like, prayer works, look what I did with it, then I would probably come to this one that, hey, like, been buddies with this guy forever, but man, I dove into that lifesaver, mm-hmm. forgot about it, still, you know, praying for this guy, interacting, hopefully he sees enough in me to be led that way. Is that something that when you have that individual and you're trying to bring them back to the table of the Lord, you know, and like really show them the fruit and the goodness of it. And yeah, habits and patterns and all those other things that we talk about that are essential. But what's it feel like to you when you get that maybe three-year-old squished lifesaver in the back of your wallet? How does it taste spiritually, right? When you eat that, not saying that you've had lifesaver those 3 years old that you ate, but like when you have that moment, you've been praying and really sown into someone and it just clicks.
That the best thing, like what I do, let's say someone's been gone from House of David a while and they come back. I don't preach at them. I don't like, where have you been? We missed you. I don't do that. All I do is I say, it's really good to have you in the house. And I will say, it's different when you're not here. Mm. And it's the truth. When they're a member here and they're not here, there's a missing piece. And then usually, you know, I'm a hugger, so I'll give them a big hug and I'm glad they're here. But I'm not, listen, all of us go through ups and downs. The key is you can be gone for a while, but there is a time when you need to come back. And so that was my message with Sukkot, was the reason I did gave the parable of the many were invited and they all made excuses is because we need to be awakened that right now the condition, particularly in the United States, I can speak of Israel as well and other countries, is that the bottom line is they have neglected God's house and they haven't sought God first. And so what happens is the wages of sin is death. The sin in the culture is killing the blessings that could be here if we would put God first. So I have a real burden for that because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And just like in Oklahoma, we're here, we're in a drought. And they're saying that we're not going to have rain for a whole month. And so, you know, for the farmers and the ranchers here, this is really, you know, bad news. This is real expensive, this drought. But the scripture says about Sukkot, we're in the week of Sukkot. Those who keep Sukkot will get rain. So I'm praying that the rain will, even though it's not forecast for 30 days to have rain, let the blessing of what happened last night, let the rain of God's mercy fall on the state of Oklahoma in Yeshua's name.
Look into your camera and just seal this in prayer and really bring this entire lesson as this appointed time, right, in the fall feast, 5785. I really want people to dive into this episode if they, have just jumped in this one and didn't join us for Sukkot. We've got the stream up. It's on replay. You can go back and watch it. We've got tons of resources listed that I'll put in the description of this episode and in the Sukkot stream. But seal this in prayer for people watching and listening.
All right. Well, I do think this. I hope you sense in my heart, there's no condemnation here. There is conviction. And my prayer for you is if you're a father, mom, dad, grandparent, aunt, uncle, you're leading children, lead by example. Really, you have to lead by example. And I've never, with the core that is around me that I do pastor, I never really have to push. And, you know, Daryl's here. He's part of our staff, part of our family. I never have to push. I think people see that the spirit realm is working in Christy and I. One of the things I hear from our staff is like they'll say what you hear them preach is, and they're around us and they travel with us or we visit a church or we have an executive planning meeting. They say, you know what? What you see is who they are. That's it. What I'm saying is you've got to model it and understand that by modeling the behavior in a true sense, by seek first the kingdom of God, you are doing the most precious thing because then all other things will come onto you. Your health, your prayers answered, your financial needs will be met. Your children will be protected from going wayward. All those things. So Father God, I pray in Yeshua's name for each and every one that they would have an encounter to say, Lord, I will seek you first. And it is the wisest, most practical thing I can do as a human being is to seek first the kingdom of God. If you don't know the Lord, say, Father God, I ask that Yeshua, Jesus, come into my life. I ask that he fill me with his Holy Spirit. I decree that I need him as my Lord and Savior. And I ask that the blood of Jesus wash away my sins so that I might be able to fellowship and go into the courts of heaven with Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is what washes me, qualifies me, and positions me to be able to be seen by God, but also for me to see the Lord and hear the Lord. And the decision I'm making today in this podcast is the most important decision I'm making, whether I'm saved or unsaved. Either that, get saved, but when you are saved, go after God first and put him first place in your mind and your heart and your soul, and you will be blessed. That's my blessing for you on this Sukkot, 5785. God bless you.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Again, drop your comments if you have anything for us. We'll always put the resources in the description. for you. We'll see you next week.